Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm chapter 5 and in verse 12, it says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Notice that. Being blessed, righteous, having favor, and having protection all around you all go hand in hand. All these things work together. "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Somebody say, "I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my good shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. I have favor with God and man. God surrounds me as with a shield. I am totally protected. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. I'm blessed. I've been redeemed from the curse. I'm blessed because the Lord's my shepherd." Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? Let's never forget it. Let's never forget it. No matter what you're facing in life, no matter what's going on, you need to say, "Nope, Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I am blessed because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I got favor with God and man." Hallelujah. "And no weapon formed against me is going to prosper." You know, that needs to be your reaction to whenever the devil tries to bring some kind of curse into your life or tries to convince you that you are cursed. We need to respond and react with the word of God. Speak the truth, because this is the truth. This is the truth, if the Lord's your shepherd, if Jesus is your Lord. This is the truth. So we got to believe the truth, speak the truth. I'm blessed. Somebody say, "I'm too blessed to be cursed. Jesus took the curse. I'm blessed." Hallelujah. Now we know there's an enemy who is always seeking to try to undermine the word of God to us. And he's always working to try to keep us from the increase that God has for us. God wants us to increase in every good thing. That's all part of being blessed. He wants us to increase in influence in the earth, obviously, because we represent him. And we want to spread the gospel. He wants his gospel spread throughout the world. He wants to light us up and put us up on a lampstand. He wants to give us a nice big platform. He wants to lift us up in life. That's where he wants us. But we have an enemy, evil spirits, demons, that are always working to try to keep us from increase, always trying to keep us from having influence in life. In other words, we could say he's always trying to keep us from fame and fortune. He's always trying to keep us from fame and fortune. And the Lord has revealed to me the main demon that is behind all this and that has been robbing people of the increase, have been robbing them of influence, have been robbing them of their fame and fortune that is due them. Remember when he said to Abraham, he said, "I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you a name that's great," right? Well, how many people know the blessing of Abraham belongs to us in Christ Jesus? That blessing now is to come upon our life. But who is this demon? What is this demon that keeps people from fame and fortune? Well, it goes right along with what we were just talking about here, along the lines of righteousness, that we are the righteousness of God, understanding that is going to help us to successfully combat this particular demon. How many of you know there's all different kinds of demons? Of course, Ephesians talks about principalities. That's one kind. Powers is another kind. rules of the darkness, that's another kind. Spiritual host wickedness in the heavenly places, that's another kind. But there's all kinds of different demons, lying spirits, deaf, dumb, mute spirits, right? We see them all named in the Word of God. And the Bible, there's a whole list. We could spend a whole service on all the different names of Satan, all these different kinds of demons that are out there. But the demon that primarily keeps us from walking in the blessing of God, this one main demon, its name is shame. Shame is the devil. And in fact, there was a prophet who had seen into the realm of the spirit, and he saw what looked like shackles around people's ankles. And he saw these shackles moving, and he saw them, he realized they were snakes. There were these snakes around there, and the name that was written on the snakes was shame. And that's interesting because, of course, we know that's how the devil in the very beginning manifested himself to mankind. He came in the form of a serpent. He had possessed a serpent. So he came as a snake. And if you go all the way back to Genesis, you can see that shame was really the main thing that robbed Adam and Eve of the blessing. Because notice what it says in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 25. And they, Adam and Eve, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not. So right here, Genesis chapter 2, we're already talking about shame. They were not ashamed. Not ashamed. I looked that word up. It's actually both words. Not ashamed is one Hebrew word. And it means to put to shame, to feel shame, to act shamefully. So in other words, the Bible's telling you right off here in Genesis, it says there was no shame. It could have said a lot of things. Because there's a lot of different demons in this world. There's all kinds of oppressive things in this world. But it chose to let us know that there was no shame there, because shame has a lot to do with plundering, robbing them of the blessing of God upon their life. How many know Adam and Eve were blessed and highly favored? Yeah, well, they lost that, didn't they? They were robbed of that. They were plundered. So here they are before shame came on the scene. Here they were, and they had no shame. Then we just go over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. And this is after they have sinned, the Lord calls out to them. And Adam answers, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Why was he afraid? Because I was naked and I hid myself. So because he was naked, he was afraid. Well, if you go back to Genesis 2:25, it says they were both naked and not ashamed. So now we see that he was naked and afraid, or we could say ashamed. Look what shame brought. It brought fear. It brought fear. You know, I've gone through the Word of God, and I've looked at things and studied things in times past, and I've seen that, you know, you can trace every problem back to fear. And that's why the Bible says you will not be oppressed. The devil will not be able to oppress you because you will not fear, because you do not fear. If you can eliminate fear, there'll be no bondage, right? Because we see that over in the book of Hebrews, how it is a spirit of fear, or the fear of death, that causes people to be subject to bondage. So if you can eliminate the fear, you wouldn't be subject to bondage. There'd be no bondages. So if you can eliminate the fear, and that's as far as I was able to take it, to fear. But now I just found something else. You can go a little bit further. It's shame. Shame is what produced fear in Adam and Eve's life. It was because now they were ashamed. And so shame, as a result of shame, notice, here they are. Here's this powerful man. He was greater than any king. I mean, he had authority, not just over a country. He had the whole world. He had dominion over the entire earth. And here he is hiding behind a tree. Ashamed, afraid, plundered by the devil, by the snake. shackled by shame. Now, they were not ashamed of their physical nakedness originally because they were clothed spiritually. They were clothed with the glory of God. And as a result of that, they weren't ashamed. They were more conscious of God and spiritual things than the fleshly things. So because they were clothed with God, because they had that spiritual clothing on, they weren't ashamed of their physical nakedness. But shame stripped them of the glory of God that was upon their life. It stripped them and then clothed them with itself, with shame. They became clothed with shame. Shame can clothe people with itself. We see it over in Isaiah chapter 47. In verse 3, it says, "Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen." Being uncovered, stripped, stripped of the glory of God, stripped of the honor of God, stripped of the righteousness of God, stripped of the blessing of God, and then clothed with. Now, what do we see? We're stripped of all these things, and what's left? Now, there's something else there. What do we see? We don't see the honor of God. We don't see the glory of God. We don't see the blessing of God. We don't see the righteousness of God. We see shame. Because now it has clothed them with shame. Over in Job chapter 8, Job 8, and in verse 22, it says, "Those who hate you will be clothed with shame." See, shame is spiritual clothing. "Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked will come to nothing." Come to nothing. See, because shame will strip you of everything. Now, I looked up this word, clothed with shame. These three words are actually one Hebrew word. And it means to dress, to wear, fully clothed. It talks about apparel, clothing. But it also means this, wrap around. Well, that goes along with that vision that that prophet had seen of shame manifesting in the form of a snake wrapping itself like a shackle around people's ankles, holding them in bondage. See that? To wrap around. And again, he says in Job 8:22, "Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked will come to nothing." Will come to nothing. Again, shame will cause everything you do to come to nothing. No matter how much you work, no matter how well you do, shame will cause it to come to nothing. That's what shame does. It's a thief. It's a thief. And I'm reminded of the scripture where Jesus said, the thief, the devil, he comes immediately to steal the word that is sown in a person's heart. He comes immediately to take it away so that what is sown comes to nothing, comes to nothing. I believe that demon is shame. Shame comes in there and it robs people of the word of God, robs them of the promises of God, steals the truth from their lives and strips them of the increase that God had promised them, takes it from them. Over in Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah 3, verse 2. I'm so glad God is uncovering this demon, aren't you? He is uncovering and exposing this thing so that we don't yield to it anymore and we don't put up with it anymore. We take out our arrows of truth and we strike them down. We're not just going to sit by and allow shame to rob us anymore. Who knows how much it's robbed us of? Notice this in here, Jeremiah 3:24, "For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers." Shame is a devourer. Well, we know the devil's a devourer, isn't he? He's referred to that over in Malachi. The Lord actually says, he says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Notice that. I'll rebuke the devourer. Well, notice, shame has devoured. Shame's the devil. Shame will come in. Shame needs to be rebuked. Shame needs to be rebuked. And every time we bring our tithes, we're rebuking the devourer. We're rebuking shame in our life. We will not be put to shame. We will not be dominated by shame. Shame's not going to rob us of our increase. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers. They work so hard, but they're only able to go so far. Shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. See, shame will devour your increase and keep you mundane and from fame. See, God wants fame for his people. He wants you to have fame, but the devil will keep you mundane. Shame will come in and will devour your increase and keep you mundane so that you won't have any fame. And also notice what it devours, their flocks and their herds. It'll steal the flock from God's house, steal congregations, steals people away from God, steals people out of the house of God, steals people from the kingdom of God. Well, couldn't we say that? I mean, I know it's talking about natural flocks, but it also you could spiritualize that as well, because God's people are likened to a flock. And so shame will drive them away. Shame will keep people out of the house of God. I wonder how many people aren't in church tonight because of shame. They get so fired up, and then shame comes along and just knocks the rug right out from under them, and they're ashamed of themselves. They're disgraced. As a result of that, they backslide. They don't want anything to do with God. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that were called here. They left. And they left because of shame. And it was because they had thoughts come to their mind like, now these people here are spiritual. Because they're in a place they're not used to, you know. And they might be a Christian. They're used to maybe some other churches. They come in here and they sense the presence of God. And they hear the word of God. And they see the fire of God on people's faces. And they just feel this conviction. And that conviction just fills their heart. And instead of just going ahead and just repenting, if you need to repent, and align yourself and just say, well, bless God, I'm going to get this and walk in the more of God. Instead of that, they just think, I don't fit in here. These people are too good for me, this church is too good for me, I just don't fit in here. I've had people say that. They have felt that way. What is it? It's shame. It tried to do it to me out at Bible school. There I was in a service, the power of God was moving, people were getting blessed, and the devil came along, and he said, these people are spiritual, they're tapping into the power of God, but look at you, you're just a flesh creature, you don't belong here. And I wasn't doing anything fleshy, you know? I mean, there was nothing. I mean, I'm a Bible student. I mean, I'm sold out the whole route. I left everything to follow God. But day in, day out, he did that. By the end of the week, he had me. He put a shackle on me. And I walked right out of the service. But thank God, God was able to get a hold of me and rescue me and unlock the shackles and set me free. But how many people have not gotten free? They didn't hear from God. They just walked away. They just backslid. They just turned away from the more that God had for them. Flocks of God robbed. And then there's something else here to recognize, again, in Jeremiah 3:24. He says, for shame has devoured the labor, which is what it does, but it's the labor of our fathers from our youth. And I saw this, that shame can also be hereditary and can be passed down from your father, from your grandfather, your father. It can be passed down to you. Here we see youth suffering from shame, but it started with their father. So it could start in a person's life as a young child. Shame is already at work. And you can see that many times in a thing called shyness, being shy. You see a child is so shy. You know what that shy is? That's shame. That's what they're being shy is. It's shame. They're ashamed. I remember hiding behind, going over to the neighbor's house with my mom. You know, she was a great lady. She had tons of candy. I mean, she was like a candy store. I mean, it was the crazy. As I got older, I got a little bit of a bowl. I just knock on the door. And she'd open the door. And she had just a whole pantry full of candy, every kind of candy you can have. So, you know, I'm standing there with my mom, and she's a sweet, sweet lady, you know, that we're looking at here. But I'm hiding behind my mom's leg like she's a fig tree. You know, like Adam. I'm hiding. Oh, he's so shy. I'm saying, come here, honey. Come out from behind there. And, oh, he's so shy. And it's like a cute thing. He's so shy. Why don't we say to him, he's so bound by shame. That don't sound very cute anymore, does it? See, but we treat these things as cute. It's a demon. Now, and you got to watch this because I don't want you to grab your kid and say, now, you're not going to yield to that. Now, you don't get crazy with your kids, but we do have to understand we're not going to have this. We're not shy. I said we're not shy. We're not timid. Timidity is insecurity, and it'll keep you from walking in your God-given authority. There's authority for you and I to walk. Adam lost his authority because of shame. He became timid and afraid and was hiding behind a tree. He was shy. No, he was ashamed. See? And it's just been passed on, generation to generation. So being shy is being ashamed. And shame will keep you from fame. Now, if shame can't wrap itself around you, it will try and wrap itself around what you do. Because we see here, it devoured the labor of devoured my father's labor for the work that he did. It devoured the harvest. It devoured it. It wrapped itself around it and just sucked the increase right out of it. Took it away. So if it can't wrap itself around you, it'll wrap itself around the things that you do. That's why we have to make sure shame don't get on the things that we own, the things that we have, the things that belong to us. We're not going to let shame on our stuff, on the works of our hands. Shame's not going to continue to rob us and take our stuff. Get your hands off my stuff. Get off my stuff in Jesus' name. No shame's going to be on me. I'm the righteousness of God, and you're not going to be on my stuff either. You're not going to be on my household. You're not going to be on my property. You're not going to be on my business. You're not going to be on my finances. You're not going to be on my life. Anything that belongs to my life. See what I'm saying? Because it'll wrap itself around these things, clothe these things with shame. It will also work against you through others by making them shameless. There's people that will shamelessly say evil things about you. They will shamelessly attack you. They will shamelessly try to put you to shame. They will shamelessly lie about you. It's been amazing to me over the years to see how many people will lie. They'll lie about you, just flat out lie about you, tell stories about you, slander you, say things that weren't even true. They'll just come out and say, just bold-faced liars. Shameless. Shameless. It's not that they don't have shame, it's that they're controlled by shame. They're controlled by shame. In other words, they're no longer resisting shame. They're just one with shame. They don't resist shame. That's what I mean by shameless. They don't resist shame. They are shame. They're shameful. They just do shameful things. Psalm 4, verse 2 talks about these kind of folks. The psalmist cried out. He said, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? God's placed glory on my life. He's placed glory on my things. I mean, the glory of God is all over me, all around me. And yet, humans keep turning my glory to shame. How do they do it? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? He goes on to say. Lying. Falsehood. Speaking lies about things. And notice, the man legitimately has glory. And he's saying, you're turning my glory to shame. Do you see that? You don't see that? You're turning my... He has glory. But it's being turned to shame. In other words, glory is... I mean, that's to be honored, right? And exalted. Highly esteemed. And yet it's being turned to something that's despised. Something looked down upon. Something as worthless. Something shameful. Why is that? Have you ever seen that in your life? Where there should have been glory, you knew the glory was there. God is in this. God's all over this. And then it goes nowhere. It's despised. It's looked down on. And there's a lot of things that people esteemed and looked up to. And then because others looked so down on it, they thought, well, maybe it's nothing after all. And it becomes despised. It was turned to shame. Glory can be turned to shame. And here's this man. He is walking in the glory of God, but it's being turned to shame because of worthless people making the glory worthless to others. Making it worthless to others. Now, we don't have to be ashamed, even though people would try to put you to shame. Even though people might do shameful things to you. People might say shameful things about you. You don't have to be ashamed. People can lie about you. You can still just sit there, praise God, and not feel ashamed. It's so sad to see so many people just fall apart because somebody else talked bad about them. They feel ashamed. They become bound by this demon of shame because of something somebody else said. And some people joined together and said some things about them. And now they're bound by shame. They're bound by this demon because of the opinions and attitudes and actions of other people. That's ridiculous. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus and not be made to be ashamed, even though we're being shamefully treated, even though we are suffering shame at the hands of people, shameful people. We will not be ashamed. And we got a great example of that over in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5 verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So here the apostles, man, they are full of the glory of God. Full of the glory of God. And yet here they are shamefully treated. Beaten. Made to look like fools. Made to look like criminals after living such a righteous life. And then, you know, the news media is there. And they're spreading the slander all over the city of Jerusalem. I mean, even the Gentiles are hearing about it. Then verse 41 says, so they departed from the presence of the council, crying and so ashamed, covering their heads and just feeling like, why, God, why did this happen to us? No, it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Hallelujah. They weren't ashamed, even though they suffered at the hands of shame. They still remained unashamed, unashamed, because they understood who they were doing it for, and they believed in the God that they were preaching and that they were taking this beating for. And they counted it as an honorable thing because they knew even though they were shamefully treated among men, in the eyes of God, they were highly esteemed. They understood that. They understood that. We need to understand that. We need to understand that. We need to come back to, how does God view us? What does God think about us? What's God's attitude towards us? It's all that matters to me. So we love people. But if people shame, people that you loved, you helped, they treated you shamefully, what are you going to do? I'd go ahead and rejoice if I were you. I'd go ahead and rejoice. Praise God, because you did it for his name. You did it as unto him. You didn't do it unto man. Get your eyes off people. Get your eyes off people. Praise God. It'll keep the devil from being able to bind you. Say no more shame. Somebody needs to just kick at their heels and just pull that thing off right now. I mean, any kind of worry or embarrassment of what other people have thought about you, said about you. It don't matter, family members, they're supposed to be friends, people at work, they made me look bad, I'm so embarrassed. How can I go back there and face them because they all think this way about me? Go in there smiling. Walk in your authority in the name of Jesus and understand you poor pitiful people are deceived. I'm the righteousness of God and I own this place, whether you know it or not. I'm in charge. I like what he says over in Titus chapter 2, verse 15. He said, let no one despise you. That's very interesting. Don't let anyone despise you. Don't let anyone despise you. Why? Because it's a demon. It's a spirit of shame. Shame is working behind anybody that would despise you, look down on you, treat you as worthless, treat you as unimportant, not valuable. That's a devil. I'm not going to put up with that. Now, I might not be able to change them, but I'm not just going to allow somebody to sit here and treat me that way because I represent him. And you're not going to treat God that way. So we're not going to let the devil of shame work through people to despise us. We're going to take authority over that. One way you can do that is just, you know, turn away from the human and just say, I command you, you foul spirit of shame, trying to despise me. I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and operations against me right now in Jesus' name. Put that demon back in its place. Don't just sit there and let it happen. We're not going to let it happen anymore. I said, we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to sit back and let it happen anymore. We've been plundered long enough. We've been robbed long enough. We've seen people robbed long enough. It's time to experience our increase. It's time to experience fame and fortune. It's time to just go ahead and rise up and be the blessed people that Jesus Christ came to make us. And nothing's going to stop us. Can you say amen? So we're going to walk in our authority. We're not going to yield to timidity. You remember over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, where the apostle said to Timothy, he said, let no one despise your youth. Remember that? Let no one despise your youth. Don't let anybody despise you. He said it to Titus. Don't let anybody despise you. He says, don't let anybody despise your youth. Doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what people think about you. What does God say about you? Stand up and walk in your authority and be bold in the righteousness of God. Can you say amen? You say, yeah, but you know, as a youth, I really messed up and I've created a lot of problems for myself that I just feel like I'm still reaping what I've sown. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 4, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. You remember Adam? Ashamed, and I hid myself because I was afraid, because I was naked, right? Aren't you glad we're not naked anymore? Aren't you glad we've been clothed with the glory of God? We're wearing robes of righteousness. We got the full armor of God on, right? We're clothed with humility. We're clothed with the armor of light. We're clothed with the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Man, we got spiritual clothing. I said, we got spiritual clothing. You know, the Lord said to me one time, he said, when you try to impress, you spiritually undress. It's a trick of the devil. He's talking about spiritual clothing. Because what happens is, when you're trying to impress, it's only because you're ashamed. You're ashamed. You're yielding to shame Because if you weren't ashamed, you wouldn't be trying to impress. You would just shine. You just shine. If you're not ashamed, I don't try to impress you. I am what I am, man. Here I am. I like it. It's good. I'm the righteousness of God. If you're secure in who you are in Christ Jesus, then you're not ashamed, and so there's no need to try to impress. I don't try to impress anybody. So the moment you start trying to impress, you're yielding to shame, and shame will strip you of your spiritual clothing. And then will clothe you with shame so that you'll actually have the very opposite of what you're trying to get through impressing people. You'll actually end up being despised and shamefully treated because you're actually clothing yourself with shame by trying to impress. So when you try to impress, you spiritually undress because you're yielding to shame and it's stripping you and clothing you with itself. Isn't that a sneaky, snaky devil? Somebody say, no more. No, we're going to resist that. We're not going to yield to that. We don't have to try to impress. We don't have to try to impress anybody. We are who we are. And God's done a good job with us. You know, I can't be any more than I am. So you better like it. Or God better come through. And he better do more than I can. And that's what we have to have confidence in, right? We just be who we are and let God be who he is. He spoke to me very early getting started in ministry. He said, you be a good Stevie and I'll be a good God. He said, don't try to be me and I won't be you. I said, that's a deal. He said, you just be a good, that's all you got to do. You just be a good Stevie. You don't have to try to be spiritual. You don't have to try to live up to some kind of image that people, you know, think that you should have or you think you should have. You just be a good you, and I will clothe you with me, see? And I'll be a good me through you, and it'll be good, trust me. So we got to be confident in him in us, that he's a good God in and through our lives. And we don't have to add to our lives because we have him as an addition to our lives. He is the addition. He's all the addition you need. So you don't have to try to be anybody else or anything else. And you certainly don't have to be ashamed of who you are because he has clothed you with himself, making you pretty good. When Adam got out from underneath that spiritual clothing, when he got out from underneath that glory, when he got away from God, it was like, ah! He was ashamed. He was embarrassed. And he went hiding. Then they started, and that was after they sowed fig leaves. So they went and they sowed fig leaves for themselves, seeing they looked good to the kangaroos and everybody. And they thought, okay, we're covered. I feel better now, you know. We got some coverings. And then they heard God coming. They're like, this ain't going to work. The fig leaves ain't going to work for God. And they took off and hid and said, we're naked. Even though they were wearing fig leaves. See, because their physical clothing couldn't make up for their spiritual lack. They had spiritual lack. And so you can look good in the physical and impress people, but when we stand before him or get around him or get in his presence, our spiritual lack will show up. But thank God we don't have to stay in lack. We can just make the Lord our shepherd and receive his righteousness and just put that on and be clothed. Be clothed and not be ashamed. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus took my shame. So he says in Isaiah 54:4, he says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Somebody say, I'm not going to be put to shame. God has promised me. He promised me that. Do you believe it? See, it's faith in God. Now, this is, of course, prophetic through the prophet Isaiah concerning what Jesus would come and bring us. That we would never be put to shame because of him. Because of his righteousness in our life. And that's why it says over in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 11, it says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. What should we be doing then? Looking unto Jesus, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he faced shame. The plunderer of humanity. He faced shame head on. Shame was all over him. That's why he even said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Talking about the cross that he endured. He became shame for us to deliver us from shame, and he conquered shame. He defeated shame. He defeated that snake that has been devouring mankind's honor and glory and robbing us of all the fame and fortune and blessing that God has for us. Jesus took the shame and he defeated it. And now shame is not going to control our life anymore. We can keep it there when it tries to creep up through the ground like a wiggly worm and wrap itself around you. Put it back down. Put it back down. Put it back down. Jesus faced shame head on and defeated it. Hallelujah. He let them do that to him. Hung there on that cross like that, naked, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, becoming our sin. Shame was wrapped all around him. And he defeated it. He overcame it. He broke the power of it. So we will never be put to shame. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, bless God. What do we need to be doing then? Looking unto Jesus. And watching what we're looking at on television. Watch what we're looking at in the world. Because what you're looking at, you're going to be thinking about. What you're thinking about, you're going to start talking about. And what you're talking about is going to clothe your life. That's why Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12, written to Christians, says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Christians putting shame on their life. Christians inviting shame. Shame to get on the couch with them. Shame to get in the chair with them. Inviting shame to come in, watching shameful things. Friend, the Bible says you get full of shame just talking about these things. You don't want to be a partaker of these things. We're looking unto Jesus, the deliverer from shame. We don't want to be bound by shame. You watch the shameless of this world. The shameless of this world. In other words, those that are just giving themselves completely over to shame. There's no resisting of shame. They're just one with shame. And that shame will climb all over you if you yield to it. See, we don't want that in our life anymore. We live in a very shameful world. A very shameful, very wicked and perverse generation. So we have to guard ourselves. We've got to protect ourselves. Say, I ain't going to get on me. You're not coming in here. Not going to have any snakes in my house. Not going to have any snakes getting on me. Here we see in Revelation chapter 3 that an entire church was bound by shame. It says in verse 18, Jesus is talking to the church. He just rebuked him and he said, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." Saying to the church, "Church, what have you done to yourself? Get your clothes back on. Get your white garments back on. Turn to me. Get washed up. Get the filth of the world off of you. You've got no place, no business being a partaker of the shameful things of this world, the shameful conversations of this world. He says, turn to me and let's get you cleaned up so that's not revealed. Revelations chapter 16, the Bible ends with this exhortation saying in verse 15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Shame's coming after your garments. Shame wants your garments. Shame wants that righteousness of God. Shame wants that armor. Shame wants all the beautiful garments and clothing that God has given you. All the revelation, all the honor, all the pearls and precious stones and the beautiful things, that crown, the whole thing that God's been clothing you with as you've been getting revelation from his word. And he's just been clothing you, decking you out. Decking you out with spiritual garments and clothing. I mean, we're like royalty, man. We're walking around. We don't have little thin things on. You understand what I'm saying? We are decked out. We got stuff hanging and just a lot of stuff, you know. We've just been being clothed, jewels and all kinds of stuff. Put another jewel in his crown, another ring. Just God's been beautifying us very well. But notice that. He says, watch. Make sure you keep your garment. Your garments. Don't let anybody steal your garments from you. Which means what? That's exactly what the devil wants. And what's this devil called? Shame. Shame. Somebody say, I don't get embarrassed. Say it again. Because I don't get shame. That's a devil. I don't get devils. I don't get devils. Do you get devils? I don't get devils. Demons aren't going to get on me. So I don't get ashamed. I'm not going to be embarrassed. So even if you mess up and do something goofy, you just say, well, God makes it up. Cover it, Lord. Take care of it. Thank you, Jesus. Fix it. Fix it, Jesus. That's a great prayer to pray. Fix it, Jesus. I'm not going to worry about it. You fix it. I repent and you fix it. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before his coming. Let's be confident at his coming. A lot of folks aren't going to be confident. The Bible tells us there's going to be a lot of folks running and hiding under the rocks. They're going to be hiding, and probably a lot of them are religious people too. They go to church and everything else. But when he comes, see all that superficial clothing is going to get exposed. See all that nakedness is going to be exposed. And they're going to see their real condition, and they're going to be hiding in the rocks and running, hide themselves from the face of him. That's what the Bible says. People be gnashing their teeth. People be going crazy. And we'll be standing there and say, Lord, how I've been longing for this moment. Oh, hallelujah, to see your face in all your glory. Amen. No shame, no disgrace, no embarrassment in the eyes of him who, in the presence of him whose eyes pierce and cut through everything. Everything is naked and open before the eyes of him in whom we must give an account. And we'll stand there with a smile and say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready for your coming, Master. That's how we're going to live our life. Not going to be bound by shame. Not going to be embarrassed. Not going to keep going back to the past. Don't let the little snake take you back to your past. Say, no, the sins of my youth and all the mess of my past, whether it's natural youth or spiritual youth, all that stuff, that's all behind me. That's all behind me. I forget the shame of my youth. Forget all about it. Just forget about it. Just forget about it. Just forget about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That curse is broken now. That curse is broken. That ain't going to cling to me. I don't care if my father had it and grandfather had it. The shy stuff is over. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I am not going to be a wiggly worm. I'm not going to be made to be pushed back. But we're going to go forward in the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus, knowing that God is on us, God is in us, God is with us, and he makes our crooked places straight, and he turns our wrongs into rights. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet. Let's thank God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.